Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna, everyone, and good morning.
Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。
And we're continuing with our series of lectures on preaching is the essence.
我们继续来进行我们的系列讲座，传播是精髓。
So thank you all for allowing me to serve you in this way.
感谢大家给我机会以这种方式服务大家。
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashtityade Shatarane Vanchako Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubi Evacha Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, this morning's topic is preaching is based on compassion.
今天早上的主题是传教基于怜悯。
And we have some quotations for you. First is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Anti Lila.
我们选取了经典当中的几段话。第一段是来自于 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的主彩檀念经。
You can go ahead and read that.
第一段是来自于永恒的主查坦涅经末篇逍遥第三章五十一师节。任何一个认为自己是十一查坦涅马哈帕布追随者的人，应该和十查坦涅马哈帕布有同样的感受。十查坦涅马哈帕布说道 ：“Iha sahara kong mati hai be nishtara。”怎样才能够让这些 Yavana 们得到解脱？ Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 总是为了拯救堕落的灵魂而感到焦虑，因为这些 堕落的灵魂 的堕落状况让他感到非常的不快乐。只有处在这个层面，一个人才能够传播 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的使命。
So this particular extract of a purport really encapsulates the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
这段要旨浓缩了 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的心态。
Srila Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavandanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gauranti Shena Maha.That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most magnanimous incarnation of the Lord.
Narottam Thakur.
Sorry?
Who said that?
Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami 写的这段祷文 Namo Mahavandanaya 这一段祷文说 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是最仁慈的主的化身。
Why? Because he freely bestows the highest gift of pure love of Krishna upon anyone who is prepared to receive it.
因为他把对守神纯粹的爱免费的派发给任何一个愿意接受他的人。
And what's driving this is compassion.
到底是什么在驱使着？是什么在驱使着他这么做？那就是他的怜悯之心。
Mahaprabhu is the embodiment of compassion, that he cannot bear to see the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls. Therefore, he works tirelessly to elevate them through the most sublime process of Sri Harinam Sankirtan.
Mahaprabhu 他是怜悯的化身，他。无法忍受看到受条件限制的灵魂受苦，所以他不辞辛劳的 通过最崇高的程序 Namah Sankirtan 是从圣灵运动来提升他们让他们获得解脱
So in this particular place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Mahaprabhu is in discussion with Srila Haridas Thakur
永恒的主查坦尼亚经这一部分是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Srila Haridas Thakur 的对话
AndHe is lamenting. He's seeing that the yavanas, the malechas, those who are quite fallen, the meat eaters and so on, how will they ever be delivered?
他看到这是 yavana, 看到吃口者以及最低劣的人，他感到非常的悲伤，在想如何才能够让他们得到解脱。
And Haridas Thakur, he replies that through the process of Nam Sankirtan, anyone, no matter how fallen their condition, can be delivered through Krishna's holy name.
Haridas Thakur 回答说，无论一个人是多么的堕落，只要通过崇高的 Nam Sankirtan 起诵圣名运动任何人都能够通过主唱诵主的圣名而被拯救
And he says that the holy name is so powerful that even portions of it if even portions of it are chanted one can get liberation
他说圣名是如此有力量哪怕一个人只是唱诵部分的圣名，他都能够获救。
And he makes reference to something that is said by the lower class persons when they say Ha Ram, Ha Ram means O Ram like this, but the When the Yavana is chanted, they are using this to indicate something very abominable.
他说到那些低等阶层的人经常会说 Haram, 那些 Yavana 们他们谈到他们提到 Haram 的时候是指的是非常可怕的让人憎恶的东西。
So even if they are chanting,thinking this is just meaning abominable because the example is given that one person was being pierced by a boar, being attacked by a boar, being pierced with his tusks, and he was chanting Haram, Haram, meaning most abominable, most abominable.
当一个人被熊猪的咬牙刺伤的时候他会喊出来 Haram Haram 是这个最太讨这个讨厌的家伙
And even from that one can be delivered
即便喊出了 Haram 这个词一个人都能够获救
Now what to speak if someone actually chants the whole Hare Krishna Maha Mantra
那就更不用说一个能够完整的唱诵 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 的人了。
And then Mahaprabhu says, that's all right, but what about all of the other living entities within this world, the animate and inanimate?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 回答说那么其他的生物体呢那些动的和不动的他们怎样才能获得解脱呢
There are so many plants.
还有那么多的植物。
So many living entities. How will they be delivered?
还有其他那么多的生物体，他们怎样才能够得到拯救呢？
And Haridas says that when we chant the holy name, it reverberates, and all of these different living entities, they get benefit from hearing the reverberation of Krishna's holy name.
哈利达斯塔库尔回答说当我们唱诵圣名的时候圣名的音阵会传播出去 其他的生物体听到之后都会受益。
So we see that Mahaprabhu was very concerned. He was concerned. He saw the situation, and that was 500 years ago. What to speak of today?
500年前，当查泰涅马哈帕布看到这个世界的状况的时候，他都充满了关切，更何况看到今天的情形。
So he was terribly concerned, and of course we know that term is there, para dukkha dukkhi, that a Vaishnava does not lament for his situation, but he laments for the situation of the fallen conditioned souls.
当然，他的有一个词叫 para dukkha dukkhi。一个 Vaishnava 奉献者不会因为自己的处境而感到悲伤，他只会因为别人的处境、别人的灾难而感到悲伤。
And so Prabhupada says that this is the platform on which one can propagate the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to feel his unhappiness. We should also be unhappy when we see the situation, the condition of the fallen conditioned souls.
除了 Prabhupada 在要旨当中说到，只有一个人处在这样的层面的时候，他才能够传播是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的使命，也就是当我们看到其他受条件限制的灵魂的时候，在受苦的时候，我们也应该感到痛苦。
And we should be working quite steadfastly to alleviate.The unhappiness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
我们应该体会到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 心中的不快，所以我们要坚定不移的努力帮助 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 减轻他内心的痛苦。
Now we certainly see that the Prabhupada was in this mood.
当然，我们看到是了 Prabhupada 就是这样的心态。
I mean, he could have.Just remained in Vrindavan.
他本可以就待在文达文的。
He was quite nicely situated there at Radha Damodar.
在文达文 Radha Damodar 庙，他待得很舒服。
He was working on his translations.
他在做着翻译。
There he was in Krishna's holy abode, Sri Vrindavan Dham.
他就住在 Krishna 的神圣的居所。是 Vrindavan 圣地
and situated just near the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami.
他住的地方就在 Srila Rupa Goswami 的 samadhi 附近。
So, you know, from a spiritual point of view, you know, there's no better place.
从灵性的角度来讲，再没有比这更好的地方了。
But still, he felt that.Calling. I mean, yes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had given him the order, but at the same time, he felt that calling. And it was something he was cultivating his whole life. How is he going to fulfill this instruction?
当然，那是因为 Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur 给了他训示，这让他始终，内心始终都感受到有一种召唤。这种心态，这种感受是他，他用了很长时间以来都在培养的。
And even in India, when he was in household life, he tried in so many different ways to spread Krishna consciousness.
即便当时了 Prabhupada 还在印度的时候，还处在居士阶段的时候，他也已经想尽了很多办法。去传播 Krishna 之觉。
But from at least one angle of vision, it didn't appear like there was such a big response.
从某个角度来讲，当时他的传教并没有太大的反响。
I mean, it wasn't apparent that, you know, there were so many persons who were joining.Krishna consciousness when he was in India.
当他在印度尝试去传播 Krishna 之举的时候，并没有看到明显的有大量的人加入进来。
When he was in Jhansi, he had an opportunity and it was attract, some people were being attracted, but also that didn't work out.
在湛西省的时候，他倒是也吸引了一些人，后来也没能成功。
So from one angle of vision, it would appear that there wasn't so much accomplished.
从某种角度来讲，看上去他在这个时间的传教努力并没有获得什么成就。
But Krishna had his plan.
但是 Krishna 有他的计划。
And Krishna moved Prabhupada around.
Krishna 指引着 Prabhupada 去到不同的地方。
Now first to Vrindavan, and then inspired him through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and also through Srila Rupa Goswami himself, who appeared to Prabhupada and, you know, encouraged him now to, you know, make good on the promise that he had given to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Krishna 先是指引他去到 Vrindavan, 然后通过 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的训示激励 Prabhupada, 甚至安排 Rupa Goswami 亲自出现在 Srila Prabhupada 的面前，鼓励他兑现他的诺言。
So none of this was easy.
没有一件事情是容易的。
Prabhupada had no resources.
Prabhupada 没有任何的资源。
He had no assistants.
没有任何的助手。
He certainly had no steady source of finance.
当然也没有稳定的收入。
He had to beg, practically speaking, to get a free passage on a cargo ship.
可以说，他获得的那张船票也是苦苦乞讨来的。
So every step of the way, it was a challenge.
每一步都充满着挑战。
But the order was there, and Prabhupada's mood is there, of compassion.
但是他有怜悯之心，又有灵性导师给他的训示。
While he's on the Jaladuta, he writes that beautiful poem, and it kind of reveals his inner mood.
在加拉杜塔号货船上写的那首诗文，美妙的诗文。展示了Srila Prabhupada当时的心态。
He says, I don't know how I'm going to do. Only if you can personally assist me will I be able to infuse these fallen people who are totally controlled by the modes of passion and ignorance.
他说，我不知道我是否能够做到。除非你给我力量，让我能够把这门知识注入那些堕落的、受到畸形心态和愚昧影响、愚昧心态牵绊的人们。
But he has a strong desire, to help, these fallen conditioned souls, and, you know, it's not like they, are asking him to come.It's not that they're necessarily are responding very much in the beginning, but he always refers to this as his mission. It's his mission.
他有强烈的愿望要拯救堕落的灵魂，并不是别人邀请他来的。刚开始也并没有得到积极的回应，但他始终说这是我的使命。
In the early days in New York, before Prabhupada had anything,And there's a story of him sitting in a park on one bench, and then there's one American gentleman that's also sitting on this bench.
有一个故事是在早期，他刚刚到纽约，还没有取得什么成就的时候，有一次他坐在美国的一个公园的长椅上，正好一位美国人也坐在他旁边。
And Prabhupada really stood out of the crowd because he was wearing his sannyas attire, saffron cloth.
And 在众人之中， 施拉帕帕还是非常醒目的，因为他穿着橘色的长袍。
In the beginning, at least, he was wearing those kind of funny-looking pointed rubber, white rubber shoes that the sadhus would wear in Vrindavan.
他当时穿着典型的Vrindavan 的圣人们常穿的那种橡胶鞋。
And so, you know, he introduces himself, and the man asks certain questions like that.
他跟坐在旁边的这个美国人介绍了自己，这个人也向他做了询问。
Prabhupada says, I've come on the order of my spiritual master, and it's my mission. It's my mission to try to spread Krishna consciousness.
是了 Prabhupada 说我是听从我的灵性导师的训令来到这里的，这是我的使命。
So the man asked, so what do you have so far?
这位先生就问到目前你取得了什么成就呢？
Meaning, what have you accomplished so far?
也就是说目前你获得了哪些成就？
Oh, Prabhupada said, yeah, we have temples, we have many temples, and we have many full-time devotees working in those temples. So he described, you know, this kind of worldwide movement of Krishna consciousness.
他就开始描绘全世界范围内的这场 Krishna 这种运动。他说我们有众多的庙宇，每个庙宇都有很多全职奉献者在工作。
The man said, really, you have all of this? You've only been here such a short time?
这个人很惊讶地问道说真的你已经有了这些吗？你不过来了很短的时间而已。
Prabhupada said, yes, only time separates us.
Prabhupada 说是的，只是时间把我们隔开了。
So, he clearly saw thatMahaprabhu's plan would gradually unfold and all of this would be realized.
他清晰地看到是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的计划在逐步地展开，这一切都将变为现实。
So he had that faith.
He had that faith.
But it was never easy. There were so many trials and tribulations. It was a daily affair.
但是每一步都很不容易，每一天都充满着困难。
But one has to have a lot of compassion to go on day after day and, you know, try against all odds to give people Krishna consciousness, to elevate them to the platform of real spiritual life.
要想日复一日的经历不断无数的艰难险阻，又坚持下去，去努力，拯救受条件限制的灵魂，这是需要很大的怜悯之心的。
So Prabhupada says, this is the platform on which one can propagate the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's really speaking from his own experience.
当时了 Prabhupada 在要旨当中说到这句话，说到只有一个人处在这样的层面，也就是有怜悯的心态的时候，他才可能去传播是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的使命。其实他是根据自己的亲身体验在说的。
As Srila Prabhupada fully imbibed the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's asking us, he's requesting us to do the same.
是了 Prabhupada 完全吸收了是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的心态，因此他也在请求我们这样做。
And the wonderful thing about preaching is that the more you give, the more you get.
传教的美妙之处就在于你给的越多，获得的越多。
If you have some material commodity and you have a certain amount of it, let us say,and you keep giving out portions, eventually you end up with nothing.
如果是物质的商品，你有一定量的物质的商品，你给出一些之后，你自己拥有的量自然会减少。
But with Krishna consciousness, it's just the opposite. The more you give out, the more it, the stock replenishes itself and even increases.
但 Krishna 之举却恰恰相反，你给的越多，获得的越多，你越是给出，你自己的量，自然的会增加。
So the more you give Krishna consciousness, the more that you receive it.
你给出的 Krishna 之举越多，你自己收获的 Krishna 之举就越多。
Okay, we'll read the next quotation, and this is from the third canto of the Bhagavatam.
接下来这段话是来自于《圣莲波迦罗坛》的第三篇。
This is from the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev.
是主卡皮拉 Dev 的教导。
This is quite a famous verse.
是非常有名的一节诗。
Please.
译文：圣人的表现是他忍受。仁慈友好对待众生，他不与任何生物为敌，总是平静安详，他遵守经典的指示，各项品德都很崇高。要指如以上所述，圣人就是至尊主的奉献者，他所关心的是教导人们为至尊主做奉爱服务，那是他的仁慈。他知道没有为至尊主做奉爱服务，人生就被糟蹋了。奉献者走遍全世界，挨家挨户的宣传说，培养 Krishna 知觉，帮助 Krishna 的奉献者吧，不要仅仅为满足动物的习性而糟蹋了你的人生。人生是为了使受制约的灵魂觉悟自我，培养 Krishna 知觉而设的，这些都是圣人宣传的内容。他不满足于只是自己得到解脱，而总是想着其他人，他是最同情全体堕落灵魂的人，对堕落灵魂满怀同情是他的品德之一。他仁慈，因为他是众生的助愿者。这些事中的梵文对所有的生物体，这一词是指所有接受了物质躯体的生物，不仅是人类有物质躯体，猫和狗等其他生物体也都有物质躯体。至尊主的奉献者对猫、狗、树木等一切众生都很仁慈，他以能使他们最终摆脱物质束缚的方式对待他们。
So, as described here, a real sadhu is a devotee of the Lord.
这里讲到真正的 sadhu 圣人就指的是至尊主的奉献者。
Just wearing a saffron cloth and having a beard and long hair doesn't make one a sadhu.
只是穿着长长的橘色的长袍，留着长发，长长的胡须，没法让一个人变成 sadhu 圣人。
When Prabhupada first went to the West, there were many of these so-called sadhus coming around the same time.
当 Srila Prabhupada 首次去到西方的时候，同一时间也有很多这样的所谓的萨度圣人去到了西方。
And in practically all cases, they were impersonalists.
大部分情况下，他们大部分人都是非人格主义者。
And what they were teaching really was of no benefit to anybody.
他们教导的东西对任何人都没什么益处。
But Prabhupada clearly says here that the real sadhu, he comes to enlighten people in devotional service.
但是在这里是Srila Prabhupada说到，真正的萨度圣人，他是为了给人们启蒙，让他们获得做奉爱服务的机会。
Because he can clearly see that without devotional service, that one's life is completely spoiled.
因为他能够清楚地看到，没有 Krishna 之觉，一个人的生命就被糟蹋了。
Just engage in animal propensities, although in the human body, for all practical purposes, living like an animal.
虽然处在人体的躯体当中，但是行为却跟动物一样。
Just like that, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's the goal of life.
不过就是吃睡交配和防卫，这就成了他们人生的目标了。
Although we can say, you know, thatIn some cases, I won't say in all cases, that some human beings are polished animals.
虽然说在某些情况下人类是只是更精致的动物而已。
If someone's only concerned with these things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, as the main kind of goals of life, then one is this, as it, Shastra says, a two-legged animal.
如果一个人只是对吃睡交配和防卫这四项活动感兴趣的话，那么他们就像经典中所说的是两条腿的动物。
Somehow just something popped into my mind. Long time ago, it must have been in the 80s, and we were in Hong Kong, and I was with another devotee, he's now in Dallas, Jirashaya Prabhu. So we were walking on the Hong Kong side, and at one place, there are kind of a row of different types of restaurants.
这让我突然想起来了，在八十年代我们在香港的时候，我当时和一位现在在达拉斯的奉献者，我们在香港的一条街上。
So as we were passing, it was about lunchtime, so we were passing the different restaurants and we were seeing the people inside, and many of them were executives. They were from the financial district or whatever.You know, very well dressed in suits and ties and everything like that.
我们路过的那条街上有很多餐厅。我们正好路过其中一个餐厅的时候，看到餐厅里都是一些在经济区金融区工作的那些公司的管理者，他们穿西装革履，又扎着领带。
And.You know, they were sitting at a nice table, nice tablecloth, nice, China plates, you know, nice porcelain plates and nice silverware and everything like that. You know, very, very sophisticated kind of a setup.
他们坐在精美的餐桌旁边。餐桌上又铺着非常美的餐布，然后用的餐具也是陶瓷的，还有银器的，非常的精美。
So, yeah, from the external appearance, they look like very sophisticated human beings.
从表面上来看，他们是非常发达的，非常成熟的人类。
Educated, good job, well placed, affluent, you know, everything going for them.
受过很好的教育，又有很好的工作，处境非常的优越，又很富裕，什么都有。
Then because these restaurants had huge windows, so we were right just on the sidewalk, so we looked in. What we saw was in every table in the middle.There was just a big pile of bones.
因为这个餐厅的窗户很大，所以当我们路过的时候，可以看到，餐厅里面每一个餐桌中间都有一盘骨头。
Same as animals would be sitting around, you know, and just pulling meat off of a carcass, and all that's left is bones.
就跟就像是一群动物坐在一群动物聚在一起，在啃骨头一样。
And so we had that really, it was like one of those examples that came alive, something we had heard many times, but it was just so graphic. We saw it, you know, as we went window after window, it was the same thing, and we saw it so clearly.
之前我们总是在经典当中读到这样的描述，但当我们路过那条街，一个餐厅又一个餐厅，我们看到这一幕的时候，才感觉到经典当中说的例子描绘的情形都鲜活起来了。
So particularly in Kali Yuga, human life has degraded to such an extent that it is no better.For all practical purposes than the animals.
在卡里年代，人体生命当中的生物体已经堕落到了这种情形，已经比动物好不到哪里去了。
So a sadhu cannot stand to see this.
看到这些，一位sadhu圣人是无法忍受的。
When he sees people spoiling their lives, he wants to do something about it.
看到圣人们在糟蹋自己的生命，圣人们就想办法。
Because although there's 8,400,000 species of life, you know, it's only a few of those 400,000 in the so-called human species that have the ability to practice a process of self-realization.
因为在840多万种生物体当中，只有少量的40万种生物体是处在人体生命当中的，才有机会去获得自我觉悟。
The human has, you know, a more evolved intellectual capacity.
人类有更发达的智性。
If he applies it, he can understand or discern between good and bad and right and wrong.
如果用上智性，就能够分清好坏是非。
He can understand the difference between matter and spirit if he applies his intelligence.
如果用上自己的智性，他就能够区分灵性和物质。
So to see a human being not utilize that intellectual capacity and just live like an animal is really very, very disappointing for a sadhu.
圣人看到生物体没有善用自己的智性，他会感到非常的失望。
And so, when Prabhupada saw this, he would lament. He would feel really terribly bad for people like this.
Prabhupada 看到这样的人，他会非常非常难过。
He couldn't stand to see people just wasting their lives like this.
他看到人们以这样的方式在浪费自己的光阴，他感到很难过。
And that's why day in and day out, he would sit with people. And, you know, even though they didn't have very much interest at all, he just tried his best to fan the spark.
所以他才不惜每天花时间和人坐下来谈，即便这些人没有太浓的兴趣。但是只要有一点点兴趣，他都会去煽动、鼓励他们。
He'd ask them questions, let them speak about themselves, and then he would draw something out, and then he would connect it to Krishna consciousness.
他会问这些人一些问题，请他们去谈谈自己，然后根据他们说的内容，他会提取一些重点，把 Krishna 智觉结合起来。
And even if he saw a little spark, just a little glimmer of hope, he would fan and fan and fan.
即便只是看到一线希望，看到对方展示出了一点点的兴趣，他都会努力的去煽动他的这个信心的火苗。
Because he knew that the human form of life was meant for spiritual advancement.
因为他知道人体生命就是用来获得灵性觉悟、灵性进步的。
He couldn't bear the thought of a human being again having to enter the wheel of samsara.
他很难去想象，人类有机会得到人体生命的生物体，又再次堕入了 samsara 生死轮回圈之中。
But Prabhupada says that the sadhu is not satisfied merely with his own liberation.
释迦牟尼佛说到，圣人不只是满足于自己得到解脱。
I just care about myself.
我只关心我自己。
That, of course, is very selfish.
当然，这是很自私的。
Prabhupada says he's always thinking about others. Again, Prabhupada speaking from his perspective, Prabhupada was always thinking about others, and a true sadhu should always be thinking about others.
Prabhupada 在要旨当中说，他总是想着其他人。实际上，这正是他 正说的是他自己，因为他总是在想着其他人。
And so, Prabhupada said he's not only a well-wisher of human society, but he's a well-wisher of animal society as well.
Prabhupada 说到他不光是人类社会的美好的祝愿者，他甚至是动物社会的美好的祝愿者。
And in the first canto, and there's a verse about the appearance of Lord Buddha, and Prabhupada writes a long, long purport.
圣典不假谈第一篇在讲到主佛陀的降临的时候，有一个诗节是 Lord Prabhupada 做了很长的要旨。
A lot of it is about Buddha's main purpose for coming, which was to teach ahimsa or non-violence.
其中就讲到佛陀降临的一个主要的目的就是传播 ahimsa 非暴力。
Because unless and until one can become non-violent, one cannot advance in spiritual life.
除非一个人能够遵循非暴力的原则，否则的话根本无法在灵性生活当中取得进步。
So one should also be a well-wisher to the other creatures, not just other human beings.
一个人应该不光应该成为人类的美好祝愿者，也应该成为其他生物体的美好的祝愿者。
I just thought there was one instance where in one particular place, and I can't recall exactly, we could reference it where it was, but somehow there was a little kitten and was in Prabhupada's room or something, and this little kitten would kind of entwine itself around Prabhupada's lotus feet.
我忘记在哪里有看到了，我们到时候可以查一下。就讲到在 Prabhupada 的房间里面有一个小猫，就围绕在他的莲花足下。
So Prabhupada would use one of his lotus feet to kind of gently stroke the back of this little kitten.
说了 Prabhupada 就用他的这莲花足轻轻的。轻轻地在挑这个小猫。
And devotees were thinking, oh, this is a cat, he's an animal, he's unclean.
奉献者看到以后觉得这个小猫是动物，是不洁净的。
But Prabhupada wanted to give little mercy to this little kitten.
但是 Prabhupada 却想给这小猫也给一点点仁慈。
So for a period of time, this became like a daily kind of a leela, where this little kitten would be hidden somewhere, and then probably be sitting somewhere, and it would come out and again go around Prabhupada's lotus feet, and Prabhupada would stroke like this, and went on for some time.
有一段时间，每天都是这样，这个小猫会躲在某个地方。当 Prabhupada 坐下来的时候，他就会靠近 Prabhupada 的莲花足， Prabhupada 就会用他的莲花足轻轻地踢一下他。
So of course Prabhupada wasn't seeing a little small kitten's body, but he was seeing the soul. There was a soul in that body.
当然了，Srila Prabhupada 看到的不只是一个小猫，他看到的是他内在的灵性的灵魂。
And in his own way, he was helping that soul evolve.
他以他自己的方式在帮助这个灵魂进步。
And so the devotee, Prabhupada says, is merciful to everyone.
是了，Prabhupada说到，奉献者是仁慈对待众生的。
And allows even other creatures to get some dose of Krishna consciousness.
他也会让其他的生物体也获得一点点 Krishna 知觉。
Many times I've seen when we go out chanting on the street for Harinam Sankirtan, there'll be, you know, little animals will come up, sometimes some dogs or something. I saw one clip of somewhere in Europe, devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan. The dog came, and the dog was kind of dancing with the devotees, and also, of course, not very melodiously, but was also kind of, you know, howling along with the tune.
我看到很多次看到欧洲的奉献者出去做哈林娘三 Kirtan 的视频，经常会有动物加入进来，比如说小狗或者跟着奉献者一起跳舞，也会嚎叫着跟着 Kirtan 在唱诵，虽然唱的不是那么的优美。
So they can receive the holy name, they can get a little prasadam like that.
但是通过这样的方式，他们就能够接受到圣名，也能够获得一点点 prasadam。
I recall one initiation ceremony we did in Mayapur.
我记得有一次我们在 Mayapur 在做一个启迪仪式。
And one dog, of course, they aren't ordinary dogs, they're Dambasis. The dog came out of nowhere and came and sat down. And, you know, we thought, oh, or someone thought that, you know, dogs shouldn't be there. This is a sacred occasion, it's all clean and everything. And they tried to get the dog to leave.
当时有一条狗不知道从哪里冒出来的，当然这也不是普通的狗，它也是 Dambasi， 是圣地的居民。我们在做启迪仪式，很多在奉献者会觉得，这个启迪仪式上一切都应该是洁净的，狗是不洁净的，所以他就是有一个奉献者就想把它赶走。
So although they tried many times, the dog just would not budge. Just wanted to be there and participate in some way.
奉献者想了各种办法想把这个狗赶走，但是每次狗又会跑回来，他就不想离开现场，就想参加这个启迪仪式。
So the sadhu is one. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement.
所以这个要旨当中也说了，一个沙度圣人，他以能使他们最终摆脱物质束缚的方式来对待众生。
So one more verse we have is a couple of verses. This is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto.
这是第七篇是《牟尼迦瓦坛》第七篇 Prahlad Maharaj 讲的话，这里有两个诗节。伟大的人物中最伟大的人呢，我根本不惧怕物质存在，因为我无论在哪里都全神贯注地想着您的荣耀和活动。我唯一关心的是那些为获得物质快乐和维系他们的家庭、社会及国家而制定精密计划的蠢人和无赖，我只是出于爱而关心他们。亲爱的朱尼辛哈利，我确实看到有许多圣洁的人，但他们只关心自己的救赎，他们不在乎大城市和乡镇，而是到喜马拉雅山或森林去冥想，发誓要沉默不语。他们对拯救他人不感兴趣，但至于我不想独自解脱，撇下所有这些可怜的傻瓜和无赖不管。我知道没有 Krishna 之觉，不脱避于您莲花族的人无法快乐，所以我想把他们带回您的莲花族旁的，带回您的莲花族旁得到庇护。
So by the by the mercy of Sri Narada Muni, when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb, he heard Bhagavad Gita.
这是 Narada Muni 的仁慈，当 Prahlad Maharaj 还在母亲子宫里面的时候，他就听到了 Bhagavad Gita.
So what we know then, that even when the child is still within the womb, that there is, at some point, there is perception and, you know, the things that are said or the holy name being chanted, these things can actually enter in the consciousness.
他在母亲子宫里的时候就听到了有关至尊人格守神的讯息。我们知道胎儿在子宫里的时候到了一定时间他是能够听到外面说的话外面的声音。所以 当他听到圣名，听到有关主的话题的时候，他也接受到了。
There have been a few times when we have been invited to do kirtan for ladies who are expecting children.
有几次我们也受到邀请，去做 kirtan， 而参加的人都大部分是孕妇。
A couple of yoga places we were invited to do this, and the ladies are all pregnant. Yeah.
有一些做瑜伽的休息瑜伽的群体瑜伽馆，他们邀请我们去做 kirtan， 来参加的女士们很多都是孕妇。
And sometimes, you know, quite advanced in their pregnancies.
有时候已经快到了。就孩子都快要生了。
Just within weeks, they are to give birth.
可能就几个礼拜之后就要生了。
So I remember one particular place, and there are maybe 15 or 20 of these ladies.
我记得有一个地方有大概15个到20个孕妇参加。
Not such a big number.
数目不多。
But then I thought, actually it's double, because there's children in the womb, so 20 means 40.
参加的人看上去不多，但是我在想，那其实今天来参加唱诵的人数是三倍的，20就等于是40。
So those unborn children also, they're getting benefit.
因为肚子里的孩子也受益了。
The holy name is penetrating, and they're getting benefit from that the transcendental sound vibration.
因为圣名会穿透一切，所以肚子里面的婴儿胎儿也得到了圣名的益处。
So by the touch of another sadhu, Sri Narada Muni, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he also becomes a sadhu.
因为和另外一位萨杜圣人的接触 Narada Muni Prahlad Maharaj 也变成了萨杜圣人。
And so, right from the beginning, even though he's just a small child, he's not at all afraid of material existence.
年纪小小的时候，他都不惧怕物质存在。
He's just fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord.
他只是全神贯注地在想着主。
And even when Hiranyakashipu subjects him to all types of torture, he's just fully absorbed. It doesn't really affect him.
即便当 Hiranyakashipu 想尽各种办法置他于困境、危险之中，他也丝毫不受干扰，始终都全神贯注地想念着主。
Just think about how severe that was.
我们想想这是多么严酷的情形。
Thrown into a den of poisonous snakes.
把他扔到蛇堆里。
And the snakes are, you know, urged to bite him, but they are unable to actually...penetrate and their fangs break because the lot is protected by the Lord.
这些毒蛇被鼓动着去咬 Prahlad Maharaj, 可是他们的毒牙都断掉了，因为 Prahlad Maharaj 是得到了主的庇护的。
They try to pierce them with tridents, the tridents break.
他们想用三叉戟去刺伤他，可是三叉戟也断掉了。
Elephant tries to gore him with his tusk, and the tusk breaks off.
大象试图用它的象鼻来攻击它，象鼻也断掉了。
He's put in a pot of boiling oil.
他被放置于滚烫的油锅里。
Not affected.
依然没有受到影响。
So one after another, he's subjected to all these types of severe tortures. He's not at all fazed.
他就这样经历一次又一次的残酷的折磨，但是他始终都满怀着信心，没有受到影响。
Why? Because he's fully absorbed in the glories of the Lord.
为什么呢？就是因为他始终都全神贯注地想着主的荣耀。
But he feels compassion when he sees fools and rascals are making all of these elaborate plans for material happiness.
但是当他看到蠢人和无赖们做着精密的计划，为了获得物质的快乐，他感到非常的不安。
He's concerned, it said he's concerned with love, because love means that you want the other person to be happy. Even if you have to sacrifice, if the other person can be happy, that's real love.
他说到他只是出于爱而关心他们，爱就意味着你希望对方快乐，即便是这他的快乐需要你做出牺牲。
He doesn't want to be the type of sadhu that is interested only in their own deliverance.
他不是，他对于独善其身的sadhu们，只关心自己的解脱的圣人们没有兴趣。
He's not interested to go to the Himalayas.
他没兴趣去到喜马拉雅山。
Or to the forest and meditate.
或者去森林里面做冥想。
No.Imbibing the mood of Sri Narada Muni, he wants to deliver others.
他吸收了 Sri Narada Muni 的心态，他也想去拯救其他人。
And we see that even though he was just 5 years old, you know, during the lunch break when the teachers left, then Prahlad took an opportunity to preach to his schoolmates.
虽然他当时只是五岁的孩子，但是在午间休息、午餐的时间，老师离开的时候，他会抓住这个机会给同学们传教。
Mostly young children are interested in just playing.
大部分小孩子就只喜欢玩。
They just want to enjoy. That's all they care about.
就只关心想怎么样去享受。
But because Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness was transformed by the touch of Sri Narada Muni, he was quite sober.
但是因为 Prahlad Maharaj 和 Sri Narada Muni 有接触，所以他的知觉，他的头脑很清晰，很冷静。
And he wanted to give something of value to his schoolmates.
他想也把这宝贵的东西给到他的同学们。
Not just play games with them.
不只是和他们玩游戏。
He wanted to give something for their long-term benefit.
他想给他们一些对他们长远利益有用的东西。
And therefore he taught them the process of Krishna consciousness.
所以他就给他们教授了 Krishna 知觉的程序。
So,He's a very, very wonderful role model for us.
Prahlad Maharaj 是我们的非常好的典范。
And probably quotes these verses very often.
这个诗节是石老爸爸的非常经常引用的诗节。
So it is very powerful to readthese portions of the Bhagavatam, hear about these empowered souls who had such compassion for assisting others to be delivered.
圣典波迦瓦坛的这一部分非常有力量，描述了这些受被赋予了力量的圣人们是如何去拯救其他灵魂的。我们通过阅读和聆听这部分的逍遥时光非常有力量。
And if we say that we don't really have much compassion,
如果我们说我自己没有那么多的怜悯之心,
then we can pray to these great personalities that we can get a little bit, just a little bit of compassion.
我们可以向这些伟大的人物祈祷让我们也能够得到丁点的怜悯之心。
If we say we don't have compassion, we can pray to Srila Prabhupada, please give us a little bit of compassion.
如果我们觉得自己没有怜悯之心，可以像Srila Prabhupada的去祈祷，祈祷请给我一点怜悯之心。
We say we don't have compassion. We can pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu.
可以向Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu和Nityananda Prabhu祈祷。
If we say we don't have compassion, we can pray to our Diksha Guru and our Shiksha Gurus.
可以向我们的 Diksha Guru 启迪灵性导师和训示灵性导师们祈祷。
And you know, if our prayer is sincere, if we truly want to develop compassion, then compassion will come. It will come.
如果我们的祈祷是真诚的，如果真的想要得到怜悯之心，怜悯之心就会自然到来。
And once we're infused with the mood of compassion, then we will work tirelessly to try to give other people Krishna consciousness.
一旦我们心中被注入了怜悯之心，我们就会不辞辛劳的，不知疲倦的，想方设法把 Krishna 知觉给到别人。
Because we will not be able to tolerate seeing the suffering condition of the people in this world.
因为看到这个世界上其他人受苦，我们是受不了的。
So some very beautiful excerpts from Prabhupada's books.
在释迦牟尼佛的书籍当中有这样的类似的大量的讲到这个话题的段落。
And something for us to deeply reflect on.
需要我们去深思。
So, those are my thoughts this morning. We've gone about an hour. Do you have any reflections you want to share?
这就是今天早上我要跟大家分享的内容，已经一个小时了。那接下来大家有没有什么想要分享的、反思的内容？
Rajendra Prabhu is like the question acharya.
Rajendra Prabhu 是问题 acharya, 提问题的acharya, 先辈灵性导师。Prabhu 的问题是感谢马哈拉什甜美的讲课，有三个问题。第一个，怜悯是个体灵魂的本性之一，是培养怜悯之心还是恢复怜悯之心？第二， Prabhupada 的怜悯之心从他出生的那一天就具有的吗？第三，怜悯之心可能会被误用，恰如 Arjuna 误用而放弃作战，才有薄伽梵歌的横空出世。我们几乎每天在误用怜悯之心，纠正这种运用的方式是通过 Krishna 知觉吗？谢谢。
Thank you, Maharaj, for your sweet lecture. There are three questions. The first one, compassion. Is compassion part of the nature of individual souls? If so, do we have to cultivate compassion or we just need to recover compassion? The second question, Srila Prabhupada's compassion is born with him orhe cultivated later on. The third question, compassion can be misused, just like Arjuna was trying to misuse the compassion and give up fighting. That's why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. It seems that we are misusing our compassion every day. So how can we avoid that? Is practicing Krishna consciousness the way to avoid misusing compassion? Thank you.
All very thoughtful questions.
都是经过深思的问题。
We do hear in the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, at least, that one of the qualities is being compassionate. It is, that's one of, it's the 22nd quality is being compassionate.
奉献者的26项品质之一是充满怜悯。
So, by nature, you know, the pure soul is the part and parcel of Krishna.
纯粹的灵魂,它的本性就是 Krishna不可分割的一部分。
And just as Krishna wants all the souls to come back to their original nature, the individual soul also in its pure form wants that, because he's a part and parcel, and when he is cooperating with Krishna, then they are one in the same mood.
因为 Krishna 希望受条件限制的灵魂能够恢复他们原本的位置，所以纯粹的灵魂，他和 Krishna 他是和 Krishna 合作的配合的，所以他的心态也和 Krishna 是一致的，因此也自然渴望受制约的灵魂能够恢复他们原本的位置。Of
course, in our conditioned state, it's something that we have to uncover.
当然，在受制约的条件下，受制约的状况中，我们需要重新揭示我们的怜悯之心。So
yes, the sincere practice of Krishna consciousness will purify us of the different coverings and allow our true nature to gradually shine forth.
的确，真诚的培养 Krishna 之觉。 能够让我们层层覆盖，获得净化，从而恢复灵魂本来的特性。At
the same time, we can help ourselves by hearing examples of compassion that can inspire us.
与此同时，我们也可以聆听一些充满怜悯之心的例子，这样我们也会得到鼓舞。
To know that's a mood that we do have to cultivate.
知道这应该是我们要培养的心态。
And even before we're fully purified, and this compassionate nature is uncovered, well, we can hear about others, and we can just engage in compassionate activities because we know that's what pleases Krishna, that's what pleases Prabhupada, that's what pleases our Diksha and Shiksha gurus.
即便在我们完全得到进化之前，在我们完全恢复怜悯的本性之前，我们也可以依然可以去从事一些能够体现怜悯之心的事情，因为我们知道。 这样的事情，这样的活动是取悦我们的灵性导师，Srila Prabhupada和Krishna的。
And just like if we want to imbibe good qualities, we associate with those with others who have them.
就比如我们想要获得某个好品质，我们就和已经具备这些好品质的奉献者去联谊。
So if someone has compassion or more compassion than we do, then if we associate with that person, then some of that mood can also rub off on us. We can become inspired to become more compassionate.
如果我们想培养怜悯之心，我们就和更有怜悯之心的人去联谊，通过联谊，我们也会受到他的影响，也会吸收他的怜悯的品质。
So two things, our strict practice will gradually uncover it, and associating with others can help us to imbibe that mood.
所以灵敏之心的获得，一是通过我们的严格的修习得到净化，让本来灵魂本来就有的这个品质展示出来。第二个就是通过联谊，去吸收有灵敏之心的人这样的好品质。
The second question was what Prabhupada had it?
Is should Prabhupada's passion inherent or it was developed later on?
Well, same thing, right? If It's inherent in every soul, and you know, it gradually will manifest. It's of course obviously different with Prabhupada because he is a eternally liberated soul chosen by Krishna to come to this world.
当然和第一个问题的答案是一样的。我们说怜悯之心是每一个灵魂本来就具备的一个品质。当然只是这个品质会逐渐的展示出来。但 Prabhupada 所不同的是，他是永恒解脱的灵魂，是 Krishna 亲自挑选的，来拯救堕落众生的。
Fully empowered to spread Krishna consciousness.
他是完全被赋予了力量去传播 Krishna 知觉的人。
Which is the greatest expression of compassion.
这是怜悯之心的最好体现。
So.He always had it. He said there was never a time he forgot Krishna.
他的怜悯之心始终都是具备的，就像他曾经说的，我从未有一刻我忘记过 Krishna.
So it may appear to our eyes that in the beginning of his life he didn't manifest it so much.
我们看上去好像在他的一生刚开始的时候，他并没有完全展示出这些。
But the Lord is guiding all of his activities, and Krishna has his plan, how he wants things to unfold. So everything happens just at the right time, when it's supposed to, because it's all under Krishna's direction.
因为一切都在 Krishna 的指示下进行着，主在安排着，指导着他的每一个活动，所以每件事都在恰当的时间展示出来。因为主有他的计划，会按照他的计划让每件事情在应该展示的时间展示出来。
Third question.
Now, how can we?Avoid misusing a compassion, because we can say Arjuna was trying to misuse the compassion. So Pablo is asking, can we avoid misusing our compassion by practicing Krishna consciousness?
That's his question?
Yes.
Well, it's like everything else. I mean, we have our praman.
De确就像其他的问题一样，我们都有我们的 praman 证据。
Everything we do has to be verified.
我们做的每件事情都应该有证据，有依据。
By guru, sadhu, and shastra.
我们的依据就是 guru, sadhu, shastra.
So if we follow guru, sadhu, and shastra.Then we will not misapply compassion.
如果我们遵循这三个权威的话，就不会误用怜悯之心了。
And if there's a doubt, if there's confusion or doubt, then we have to approach those who are more senior than us, and we should confirm.Is the way that we're thinking, the way that we're feeling, is this correct or not? So we can seek verification.
如果真有疑惑，有那疑问的地方，我们就向更年长者、更有经验者去询问，去确认我们的这样的想法、这样的感受是不是合适的。
We're much safer if we stay very close to Guru Sadhu Shastra.
如果我们总是靠近 Guru Sadhu Shastra, 这三大权威，我们就总是安全的。
And the further we get away from that, you know, more trouble we can get ourselves into.
我们离这三大权威 Guru Sadhu Shastra 越远，就越容易陷入麻烦。
So really important to keep in contact with these three.
所以保持与这三大权威的连接非常重要。
Okay, those are. What else we got here? Something more?
Yes. 第二个问题，谢谢古鲁翻译。Papapad 给猫仁慈，蚊子咬我，打死了它，这不是仁慈吧？怎么给蚊子仁慈，展示我的怜悯呢？Gurumaj, you give the example of how Srila Prabhupada give mercy to the kitten. But I was not so merciful when the mosquito was trying to bite me, so I killed him. How can I give mosquito mercy and to show my compassion?
That's a good question.
这是个很好的问题。
Again, we have Prabhupada's example.
同样在这方面也有一个 Prabhupada 的例子。
That when Prabhupada was in India, of course, like most, he used a mosquito net.
Prabhupada 曾经在印度的时候，就像很多人经常会用蚊帐，他也用了蚊帐。
And his servant, Shruti Kirti,We carefully inspect the inside of the net to make sure that there were no mosquitoes inside.
他的仆人 Shruti Kirti Prabhu 就会定期来检查一下，确保蚊帐里面没有蚊子钻进去。
And apparently there more than one time, but one instance there was mosquito inside, and Prabhu said, "Be very careful. Don't kill him. Bring him out."And then let him, go free like that. So Prabhupada was concerned even about this little mosquito.
有几次他的蚊帐里面钻进了蚊子。Shruti Kirti Prabhupada 他试图去处理，他尝试着去处理的时候 ，Prabhupada 就提醒他说：“小心点儿，别弄死他，你把他逮住，然后放出去。”所以可以看出 ，Srila Prabhupada 连蚊子他也是关心的。
So ideally, we should try to just grab the mosquito and put him outside. Ideally.
所以这个问题理想的处理办法就是我们捉住它，把它扔到外面去。
But technically, it is said that there is no reaction for killing an aggressor.
从理论的角度来讲，技术的角度来讲，杀掉侵犯者是不用承担易爆反应的。
And one of the aggressors is categorized as one who attacks with deadly weapons.
侵犯者的定义的一部分就是用致死的武器去攻击你的人，攻击你的人。
So in a sense, the mosquito is attacking with his sword.
从某种意义上说，蚊子也是在用它的武器，它的剑在攻击你。
He's piercing your body and he's sucking out blood.
它在攻击你的身体，吸你的血。
So he could be said to be an aggressor.
也可以把它划归为侵犯者这一类。
And there wouldn't be any reaction to killing him if he's biting.
如果说它在咬你的话。那杀掉他就不算是罪恶活动，不用承担业报。
In some chant Hare Krishna and then like that, but ideally it's better if we can seek an alternative. Ideally.
实在是得去拍死他的时候，有人也是边念诵着 Hare Krishna 边拍死他。但是理想的情况是我们尽量会避免杀掉它，能想到别的办法那更好。
One practical thing one can do is, apply mosquito repellent so they won't be attracted.
还有一个实际的办法就是可以放上驱蚊药，让蚊子不愿意接近。
Or sometimes they have other ways. Sometimes, as you know, particularly in Mayapur, I don't know if they still do, but in some places they would smoke the place out, with a type of, I guess they use cow dung and some other things, and then It drives them away.
还有那有的办法，有他们有时候在 Mayapur 用的，就是用一种烟熏的方式。当然也会用上牛粪，用这种方式把蚊子会赶走。
But better we make some arrangement to prevent rather than have to kill, ideally.
最好是事先就做一些防护措施，不让蚊子进来，而不要等它进来之后再把它杀掉。
Because even if there's no reaction, you know, we don't really want to have to do that unless it's absolutely required. I mean, if there's an alternative, we should try to seek it.
虽然说当蚊子攻击你的时候，你杀掉它，不得已杀掉它是没有业报的，但是我们还是不愿意这么做，除非真的是绝对是不得不杀掉，能有备选的方法，我们都不会这么做的。
I say this just based on our example of our founder Acharya.
我说的这些是基于我们的创办灵性导师 Prabhupada 所说的。
Then,
下一个问题，亲爱的Guru，顶半年的莲花族，我因为新的瑜伽馆开业、装修、宣传，还有两个孩子，还有几天没有念诵，心里总是惦记着念诵和读经典，可是时间不够，我可以把馆理顺了再念。继续念诵和诵读吗？
Dear Guru, please accept my obeisances to your lotus feet. I opened a new yoga studio because I need to be busy with the renovation, and I have two children to take care. So for several days, I didn't chant, but I was always thinking.That I need to chant, I need to read, but there's not enough time. So can I continue to chant and read after I finish the renovation?
Of course.
当然。
I mean, Prabhupada said that, you know, we should complete our quota of rounds every day.
但我们知道，Srila Prabhupada说，我们应该把每天计划念诵的全数念完。
But you know, during some kind of extreme situation, then if you can't complete the rounds on that day, you can make them up the next day.
但在有些极端的情况下，如果当天实在是有紧急的事情，很忙碌的。话没能念完当天的全书，你就第二天立即补上。
So if it's impossible, if there's no way you can complete your rounds, then you should try to make them up as soon as you possibly can.
如果当天实在有紧急的事情没能念完，第二天就要尽快的补上。
So the rule is that we should complete our 16 rounds each day, and the exception is, well, if you can't complete becauseIt's just an impossible situation, crisis situation. Then you try to make them up the next day or as soon as you can after that.
所以原则是我们每天完成当天的宣数。当有特殊的情况，特例就是当我们遇到紧急情况，实在当天没能完成的时候，第二天要尽快的补上。
But we don't want to get in a situation where we're always, you know, finding it difficult to complete our quota of 16 rounds, and we're always making up, so we're perpetually, you know, going on like this, where, you know, we never actually chant 16 rounds, and we keep saying, I'll make it up tomorrow, then it goes on and on and on, so in effect, we're not chanting 16 rounds.
所以但是不能让它成为习惯持续下去，总是说能够找到理由说我今天念不完，我明天补上，总是处在补圈的一个状态当中，这样的话我们就总是没法保证每天念十六圈了。
Next.
Devi Shakti Madhyamai Guru 派普沙达姆给同事朋友一段时间，觉得他们不会成为奉献者，就没热情了。怎么派发普沙达姆会更好一些？感恩 Guru。Please accept my obeisances. I tried to distribute prasadam to my co-workers and my friends for some time, but I felt that they are not likely to become devotees, so I lost my enthusiasm. So how can I distribute prasadam in a more effective way? Thank you.
I think that we should shift our consciousness a bit.
我想我们应该稍微转变一下我们的知觉。
If we're expecting, you know, immediate results from our preaching, then there will be many times we'll be disappointed.
如果我们做一点点传教的努力，就期待立刻收获结果的话，那很多时候我们都会失望的。
Because we may not see those results immediately.
因为很可能我们总是就是看不到立即的效果。
A lot of what we do is plant seeds.
我们做的大量的工作都是在播种。
Either through chanting the holy name, giving prasad, giving a book.
播种也就是说通过派发圣名、派发 prasadam, 派发书籍。
And you may not see an immediate result.
可能你无法看到立即的效果。
But the fact that they're receiving Krishna in the form of one of these, in the form of his holy name, or his transcendental foodstuff, or his words, you know, they're getting eternal benefit from this.
但是只要我们去派发，只要他们以这其中一种方式接受到了 Krishna,的仁慈，无论是通过那圣名，还是 prasadam, 还是 Krishna 的话语，也就是书籍，他都会获得永恒的益处。
So even if you can't perceive they're becoming devotees, in a sense they are, because every time they partake of prasadam, they're getting a little bit more purified. We should be satisfied with the fact that they're receiving Krishna, and at some point,they will become devotees. We may see it in this lifetime. You know, maybe it's going to be months or years later, all of a sudden they become devotees, or it may be in a future lifetime, and we may not see it. But the point is, we should also be somewhat satisfied that at least they're receiving Krishna in some way, and they'll be eternally benefited by doing so.
即便我们无法亲自看到暂时还无法亲自看到他成为了奉献者，但是看到他以这三种方式当中的某种方式接受了 Krishna, 我们也应该感到满足，因为我们知道他从某种意义上来讲，他得到了一点 prasadam, 他已经得到了净化，有朝一日他肯定能够成为奉献者的，可能是几个月以后，可能是几年以后，也可能是几个生世之后，但是一定会成为的。
Okay, last question.
最后一个 Chaitanya Charm Prabhu 的问题，顶拜 Maharaj Pallada 对 Krishna 充满信心。我们对 Krishna 没有那么多的信心，怎样去培养对 Krishna 的信心？黑人 Yakshapu 很厉害，半神人都怕他，但他无论怎样对待 Pallada 都奈何不了 Pallada。Pallada 的力量来自哪里？可以认为这是奉来瑜伽的神秘力量吗？Please accept my obeisances, Maharaj Pallad. Maharaj has full faith in Lord Krishna. We don't have so much faith. How can we cultivate faith? Hiranyakashipur is so powerful. Even the demigods are afraid of him. But Pallad is not. Where is Pallad's power from? Can we say that this is a mystic power of Bhakti Yoga?
We know what Prahlad says. Prahlad says, when challenged by Hiranyakashipu, where do you get your power? And he tells Hiranyakashipu, the same place you get it from, the Supreme Lord Vishnu.
这个问题我们也听到 Prahlad Maharaj 亲自回答了。当黑人 Explorer、挑战他，问他说你哪里来的、这么大的力量，他回答说、我的力量的源泉和你的力量的源泉是一样的，都是来自于主 Vishnu。
So Prahlad himself answers the question。
所以 Prahlad Maharaj、亲自已经回答了这个问题。
And he does not mention mystic power.
但是他没提说这是神秘力量。
So that's his answer. We'll take it at that.
普拉达已经回答了，我们就这么接受。
And as far as developing faith, yes, I mean, by serious practice, we develop faith.
关于怎样培养信心，通过认真的修习，我们就能培养信心。
It's also said that hearing will help us develop deeper faith.
聆听能够让我们培养起深刻的信心。
And that's the reason for which Prabhupada again and again he requested us to read his books daily.
所以 Prabhupada 才一而再再而三的强调要每天阅读他的书籍。
Because he knew if we would hear day in and day out that the transcendental subject matter, the fact that it is transcendental in nature, Shabda Brahman, it would purify our hearts and faith would deepen.
因为他知道只要我们反复的去聆听那么这个超然的讯息的超然的音阵就会进入我们的内心净化我们的内心我们对主的信心也会加深。
So hearing is so important.
所以聆听非常重要。
Somehow or another, we have to hear from Prabhupada's books on a daily basis.
无论如何要保证每天阅读是了 Prabhupada 的书籍。
Devotees do this in many ways. Some are disciplined enough, they read on their own.
奉献者会以不同的方式来做这个服务。有的奉献者比较自律，就可以自己去阅读。
They make a plan. They're going to read so many pages, so they'll finish a particular book in a certain amount of time.
会制定一个阅读计划，每天阅读多少页。或者说是每天阅读多长时间，每天都坚持完成。
Others just set a certain amount of time aside each day.
有的人是固定页数，有的人是固定时间。
Point is to make a plan.
总之会需要定一个计划。
Everyone needs a plan.
每个人都需要定出计划。
So if you don't have one, make one.
如果没有计划的话，制定一个计划。
Oh, I said that would be the last question. Now we have more.
Two more.
Okay, then these are the last two for today then. Depending on, let's see what they are first, but go ahead.
Yamuna Priyamadaji 的问题，感恩咕噜对怜悯之心精妙的讲述。怜悯之心应该是爱与智慧的结合，对吗？有时我们可能会因为怜悯他人却越界干预了他人的自由意志，请问应该如何把握好这个度，向他人表达恰当分量的怜悯之心呢？ Thank you Maharaj for your wonderful explanation about compassion. Can we understand that compassion is a combination of love and wisdom or intelligence?Because sometimes out of compassion, when we are trying to show compassion, but we seem to interfere others' free will. So how can we show our compassion to the right degree? How can we express our compassion properly?
What is that? This...Disturb the free will?
We are trying to be compassionate, but the other person may feel that we are
interfering their free will, we are imposing something upon them?
Well, I think, you know, if a conditioned soul is really deeply affected by the lower modes of nature, then they would respond like that. That, you know, you're trying to impose something. You're trying to force them to accept a philosophical position or a particular activity. But still, you know, if we're trying to give Krishna consciousness, you know, there's great value for them if they accept it. So, you know, we should expect a little bit of this, but then it's just a skill of our preacher, you know, how to give them in such a way that they don't feel intimidated by it, they don't feel forced. We should try to appeal to their intelligence, and so that they themselves come to a conclusion that this is really something they need and it's something they should embrace.
当然，受条件制约的灵魂如果真的受到低等形态的严重的覆盖的话，那很容易，当我们去展示怜悯给他什么的时候，他会觉得我们在强加于他，干预了他的自由意志。所以说，这作为传教者，我们也应该能够预料到，这样的事情也是预料之中的。所以另外一方面，我们作为传教者也需要有一点技巧，要设法找到一个方式，让对方没有感到被吓到，被强加于自己。我们没有强加他接受某个行为或者某个活动，我们尝试去鼓励他，去引导他去思考，让他自己得出结论。
If we study the Gita, we don't see that Krishna forced Arjuna. Arjuna asks questions, Krishna answers those questions, and then by the end he just says, you decide, you have to decide, it's your choice.
我们看薄伽梵歌的讲述的过程，刚开始的时候Arjuna提了问题， Krishna 在回答他，但是始终都没有强迫他，即便是到最后 Krishna 讲完了也说，现在做你好好深思，做你想做的。
So in this way, we should be more skillful in our, you know, our presentation of Krishna consciousness, that it should appeal to people's intelligence a bit more. And, you know, if they work through it, they'll come to the conclusion themselves. So we shouldn't try to force too much. And that if we force, that can be counterproductive almost. Sometimes we're trying to be so forceful in trying to like convince people, force them to accept. And then they themselves then may reject just based on our presentation. We have to be careful of just how we present. The presentation should be done in such a way that people won't be offended.
所以我们呈现的方式一定要很有技巧。要特别注意呈现 Krishna 直觉的方式，要试图去引导他去思考，动脑筋，让他自己自然地得出结论，不要太强迫对方，越是强迫反倒会起反作用，可能仅仅是因为我们呈现的方式让他感到被强迫，所以他就会拒绝，所以一定要注意我们的呈现的方式。
Last question, please.
什么 Saki Magaji 感恩 Gurudev 翻译主持人，我的问题是 Tulasi 树叶上生了很多小白虫，想了很多方法去除，但还是没有效果，没有办法 情况之下，我只能打死他们，心里也感到有些残忍，知道他们也是主的一部分，可我不打死他们，图拉西树就要被他们所侵犯死。而朱娜为了 Krishna 的快乐，在库尔之野作战没有任何罪恶反应，那我为保护图西树打死小虫打的同时也为他们念了 mantra， 我的做法会有罪恶反应吗？还是我没有仁慈之心？
She said, there are some, 小白虫 some insects, some worms, in Tusi. So I'm trying to remove them in many ways, but it didn't work. When I had no other way to remove them, I killed them. I felt that I was so cruel because they are also part and parcel of the Lord. But if I do not kill them, then they will kill Tulasi. Arjuna, fighted in Kurukshetra and for Krishna's happiness. So his fighting didn't bring sinful reactions. So to protect the Tulasi, I killed the small insects, and while killing, I chanted Hare Krishna. So will that bring sinful reactions to me? Does that mean I don't have compassion?
This is quite a specific instance. Of course, if we have to protect the Lord and the Lord's great devotees like Tulsi, and so if there's no other way, then it becomes down to protecting Tulsi or, you know, doing away with the insects that are killing her, then we have to do away with the insects.
这个问题，这是一个具体的情况。当然，为了保护，为了主的益处，为了保护主的伟大奉献者，比如说 Tusi， 像您说的，有好多小白虫，又没有别的办法的时候，那我们就要处理掉。
And again, they're aggressors, so there's not any reaction.
同样，在这个情况下，这些小白虫也算是侵犯者，这样做是没有业报反应的。
But ideally, if we can create an environment that would restrict these different, types of insects attacking Tulsi, that's best. And in that respect, I would suggest, if you don't have already, there is a really detailed book on the maintenance of Tulsi Devi that is out there. I'm not sure which one you have or what's available in China, but there is one that's quite, quite detailed, quite instructive of how to best protect Tulsi from invasion of these different insects.
理想的情况，最佳的做法就是我们能够营造一个环境，让这些小白虫不侵入啊，不侵犯土地，保证这个环境是不长小白虫的。不知道中文版的有没有这样的一个照顾土地、保护土地的手册？我知道是有一本书，它详细的介绍了怎样去保护、照顾土地。
Maybe somebody can do that research. Just make sure that we find out what's available in China. And recently, just maybe a couple months ago, I reached out to our deity worship minister, Narsingha Kuvacha Prabhu, and I asked him what he thought was the best manual on the care of Tulsi Devi, and he suggested one that, as I remember, came out of Bhaktivedanta Manor, came out of England. And I have that. And it'd be interesting to see what you have there. And perhaps this is a little bit more detailed And we could think about getting it translated for those devotees who wanted a little bit more guidance on how best to care for Tulsi Devi.
我们中文版的有关照顾Tulsi的书是哪个版本，几个月前我有咨询神像崇拜部的Shinha Kubacha Prabhu，我问他说最好的照顾Tulsi的指导书是什么书，他给了我一本，这个是来自于Bhakti Vedanta庄园的一个手册，我觉得还是比较详细的。 我们看看中国现在的中文版的照顾Tulsi的手册是哪一个版本，我们看一下是不是我手头的更详细，如果是这样的话，我们可以安排把它翻译出来，让有兴趣的奉献者来参考。
Who will take responsibility for doing that?
Fatima的请您能帮忙查查看吗？
好的，好的，可以。Setting
manager will help to find out.
Yeah, just let us know, and then in the meantime, I'll source that. I have it somewhere, and then we can compare, and maybe we can look at that as a little bit better resource.
那我们请Setting manager请帮忙找找看。 看中文版的有关照顾Tulsi的指导书是哪个版本，我这边也会看一下我手头的这个指南是哪里，是源头，是哪个源头来的，我们对比一下看哪个更详细。Okay,
so with that I have to go. I see there's another question. We'll answer that question later. I have to run to some other service now, so that's as far as we can go this morning.
不好意思，今天早上我们就只能讲到这儿了。我看到还有一个问题，我们就只能留到下次或者这周晚一些时候，我再把它录下来。So
thank you so much for joining us this morning.
感谢大家今天早上来听早课。And
please do try to reflect on these excerpts that we provided this morning.
也请大家进一步的去反思一下今天早上我们讨论的这几段话。And
try to reflect on the need that we all have to develop, more compassion.
想想我们怎样能明白我们是需要培养更多的怜悯之心的，也想想怎样才能够培养更多的怜悯之心。So
this will fuel our desire to give more and more people the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness.
越是明白培养怜悯之心的必要性。 你培养起来了更多的怜悯之心，我们就有更大的热情把Krishna之觉派发给越来越多的人。So
we want to thank Sati Mataji for facilitating.
感谢 Sati Mataji 能够协助安排今天的早课。Shyamalila
for translation.
感谢 Shyamalila 的翻译。
Krishna willing, we'll meet you again in 1 week's time.
Krishna 愿意的话，一周后，下周同一时间我们再继续。
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you.
Sushi Sati Mataji.
Hare Bo.